Our second scripture reading comes to us from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. Let us listen to the word of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A pastor friend of mine was telling a group of us about when he baptized this large, very muscular man with tattoos all over his arms. During the baptism, he started telling the congregation that baptism is like getting a tattoo. In baptism, God puts his seal on us, this mark that won't ever be able to be erased. It was a clever and powerful metaphor, not only for this man, but for any who needed a visual reminder of what baptism is about. As we've read through Romans 8, essentially that's what happens with us when we believe in Christ. We're marked or tattooed by Christ. Now, at times we may want to show it off. Other times in our lives we may try to cover it up. We might try to ignore or attempt to remove this identity. But even though we may try to remove or push it aside, the mark of Christ, according to Romans 8, whether we try to run or hide from, we are filled with God's grace and light and love. And those things cannot ever be separated from us. Once we accept God's love through Jesus, then God's love is forever marked on us. As we celebrate our graduations today in worship and in our communities, we recognize a shift from youth to adulthood. Being an adult is awesome. No one tells you what to do or bosses you around, right? We wish, I think. Our new graduates have finally entered this freedom of adulthood. Now, you all know much more than I ever did as a teenager. We didn't have smartphones back then. We didn't have self-driving cars or Uber. All we had was the internet and flip phones and paper books. Now, our young adults are smart. They have a degree under their belts, and I'm hoping that you can do what all generations before you have failed to do. Your task to change this world, to make it a better place. I don't know about you, but if you've looked around lately, we are in a world of hurt. We're scared to send kids to school. There's lots of racial tension still. Women are still being pushed down. Our government's a mess. Our world seems to be unraveling at the seams with North Korea and Iran, Israel and China. Countries in South America are crumbling. Anxiety seems to be at a pretty high level these days. Now, the truth is, we're sending you out into quite a volatile world. And while you may have new freedoms as adults, I imagine it will take adjustments, learning along the way. But you have the ability to change our world. In this passage, Paul talks about predestination. Now, if you're like most, you have difficulty with predestination. God's election and damnation of people's eternal salvation. That's what Calvin called it. Most Presbyterians these days don't agree with John Calvin's understanding. I know where he's coming from. He's emphasizing the sovereignty of God, salvation by grace alone, God's righteousness and justice. Those are very important. There's a lot of holes in his theology, his understanding of predestination. Modern theologians come to Paul's understanding of predestination, which starts in Romans chapter 8. Paul says that when we're marked, when we're tattooed, when we're claimed by God, Christ's love is inseparable no matter what happens. Now, this doesn't get us off the hook. Doesn't give us the freedom to do just whatever we want in life or in college. We have the ability to make choices, good and bad. We can rebel against God, and certainly most of us are very good at doing that. But the core of what is at stake in predestination for us today is that we are inseparable from God's love. We are assured of God's love and grace. Randy Spencer tells a story about his daughter. He says, she's like the typical American girl who's had her share of dolls and stuffed animals. Today, through modern technology, a little girl need not be content with dull, lifeless dolls, but can experience the thrill of owning a lifelike replica of a baby that can walk and talk, drink and wink, slurp and burp, cry, sigh and laugh, almost anything a real baby does, including wet itself and get diaper rash. Yet, after 10 years of buying these mechanical marvels, I wondered which of these dolls was my daughter's favorite. To my surprise, I found her favorite was a small rag doll she'd received on her third birthday. All the other performing dolls had gone, but this simple rag doll had allowed her to love it. The other dolls had caught her eye, but the rag doll had won her heart. To my daughter, the rag doll was real. It was love the way it was. The scars of love showed as the hair was nearly gone, the eyes were missing, the clothes were soiled and torn. But missing all these parts, it was still what it had always been, itself. We are too often like the high-tech dolls of my daughter. We try to impress others with skills, talent, education, speech, or mannerisms, when what they want is someone just being themselves. Sometimes we try to walk in someone else's shoes. Within every man lies the innate desire to be loved and accepted. Don't try to be something or someone that you are not. Just be yourself. Love is not won. It is not a reward for performance or achievement. You don't have to sing, teach, preach, or pray well to be loved. It's exactly what Jesus tells us, that we're loved for being ourselves. Yes, we are a mess. We've disappointed others and ourselves. We've made a mess of our world. But no matter what happens, no matter where we end up, we are marked by Christ, and we are His no matter what. And knowing that Christ loves us for being us is powerful. Probably because we've seen how others are transformed. When Jesus loves this tax collector, Zacchaeus transforms his entire life. When Jesus accepts these 12 regular, ordinary people, they follow him for 3 years, and they're willing to risk their lives to share his message. Simply put, when you choose Christ, you're Christ forever. Whether you go down into the deepest pit or if you're on the highest mountain, God loves you. God never abandons you and will go to the ends of the world for you. When you choose Christ, then God is always for you, never against you. When you choose Christ, then Christ intercedes for you, even when we sin and reject God. Paul says in Romans 8:38-39, "For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we choose Christ, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. According to theologian Shirley Guthrie, predestination is both a gift and a task. We are chosen for the sake of the world's outsiders. He says to be a light that shines in their darkness. Those who are excluded from the benefits of God's love may now be included, not to be served, but to serve, to take up our crosses. Predestination carries with it a warning. He says, be careful if you want to be one of God's elect insiders. It will make your life harder, not easier. It will not give you everything you want. It will demand everything you have. It will not put you on the side of the powerful and the righteous of the world, but on the side of the powerless and the undeserving sinners. It is the privilege of living in self-giving love for them. As we go out into this world, it is a dangerous place. Whether we're new graduates or not, there is a way to change this world. We must respond with love. As our youth group's getting ready to head to Texas to do hurricane relief, our youth leader was talking to the construction manager, Dan. He described the current landscape of the Gulf Coast because of the numerous tornadoes that came along with the hurricane. Some houses on one row were untouched, with the very next door neighbor's house completely demolished. Our group will be helping to rebuild some of these houses. At the end of her conversation, Dan told Siobhan that he was overwhelmed with the volunteer groups who were pouring into the area to help. "I can't believe you're coming all the way from..." "I can't believe you're coming all the way from Illinois to help us," he said. "People are just giving weeks out of their lives to help strangers build their houses. Why would you do this? Living into God's predestination means that we have both a gift and a task. While it's not an easy thing to do, it is the only thing we do. It's transformational. Christ never leaves us. Christ will always love us and come after us. And you have the chance to share Christ's love with others this very week. You may not have graduated. You might not be traveling 1,000 miles this week. You might not feel like you're in a position to do anything. But every person here can live into the task our God has given us to respond in love. Maybe we'll get a chance to see what Christ sees in us. It might be messy, but Christ's love is what can transform this world. Christ loves you, and our call is to respond in loving others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.